Welcome to the Robert Scott Bell Show. If you would like to participate, you can call Robert at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL. And now, it's time to wake up! Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Good news today as we kick off another couple of hours of health, freedom, and healing on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And it surrounds Marion Godbaldo, the woman that they said was a criminal for daring to protect her child or attempt to protect her child and not to give her the drugs that she was ordered supposedly to give her in response to the vaccines that she was supposedly ordered to give her that created the psychiatric and behavioral disturbances to begin with. And all this time, charged, and they claimed that she shot at them, and she would have been in her right to do so. It's in dispute whether she actually did or did not. But it turns out, well, let's let the news story let us know how they were revealing it just yesterday. Let's hear from Channel 7 up there in Detroit.
Bring you this noon. It involves the case of the mother who got into an armed standoff with police when they came to remove her daughter from the home.
Action News reporter Alicia Smith is here now with the latest, obviously. This is breaking, just coming down right now, Alicia. What have you been able to find out in a short amount of time?
Well, not much information has come out just yet. We will be learning more, though. But what we know now is all criminal charges against Marion Godbaldo have just been dismissed. This is a big deal. We understand her attorneys will be releasing a formal statement and will be alerting the media shortly about that. Now, many people have been following this case closely ever since the spring, March 24th, when Godbaldo barricaded herself in her home, and this lasted 10 hours, all while police were outside attempting to take her child away from her. Godbaldo refused to surrender her daughter to Child Protective Services workers, and they wanted to take her daughter away from her because she had refused to give her daughter psychiatric medication. Now, we do have a crew there, and we will have more information as soon as it becomes available.
Well, that was the initial phase of the review from the news story, and they were shocked that the charges were dropped. Yet this woman, God bless Marion Godbaldo. Listen, we've talked about this case, and would I have done it different? Okay, we're all different. I'm not going to judge her on the things that she did or didn't do in this case, because when it came down to it, she was willing to protect her daughter, risk her life to protect her daughter. And it turns out, as we'll find out in a moment, that the charges, or let's say the it wasn't even a warrant, but the, what do you call it? The order. There wasn't even an order to take this child away officially. It wasn't an official order. And yet they charged her with criminal negligence, medical neglect, et cetera, et cetera. Shocking turn of events here. Good news, again, for Marion Godbaldo. And she stood her ground, thank God. And maybe this will send a message back to the Detroit Metro or any other police force that tries to take these unconscionable, unconstitutional, unlawful actions. This is from WXYZ Action News 7 up there in the Detroit area.
We return to our top story now. A judge dismissed all the criminal charges today against a Detroit mom who got into a standoff with police. It happened back in March. Child Protective Services came to the family home to take the teenage girl because her mother wouldn't give her certain medications to treat her schizophrenia. She ended up barricading herself and her daughter in the home. The prosecutor plans to appeal the decision. Meanwhile, the custody case is still ongoing. The girl has been staying with an aunt. And joining us now to talk about parental rights is Lisa Halusha, Mishka, Assistant Dean at Cooley Law School. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, before we get to the discussion there with the so-called Parental Rights Authority, I wanted to mention that they are still going, they're appealing. These are out-of-control bureaucrats. They need to be put in prison, in my opinion. This woman trusted the state, much to her now chagrin, of course, and much to her daughter's detriment, in that after vaccinating her, catching her up on her vaccine schedule because she decided to send her into high school because her daughter wanted to go after being homeschooled. Remember, her first child was damaged by vaccination. We've been covering a lot about vaccination, and there's going to be more coming out about it. And this is the state losing a big one, regarding parental authority of the state versus parental rights in this case. You know, what is it that a mom cannot say, don't drug my child? You're not allowed to refuse drugging of your child. And that so-called schizophrenia that they just mentioned here, that so-called schizophrenia was caused by the vaccines, the state vaccines, the state so-called mandated vaccines. Don't ever enter your children, if you can at all help it, into any contracts of adhesion with the state, because this is what can happen. Now, I know it doesn't happen every day, but it looks like there are things that are gearing up to happen more and more frequently. Case in point, why we covered yesterday with Mike Adams, the IOM report, and the relationship to defense contractors, Department of Health and Human Services, CDC, FDA, also the World Health Organization. I mean, these attempts are going to increase unless, like Marion Godboldo, we put our foot down and we lift our arms in defense of our children, our birthright as parents as well. Do not turn them over to the state. But again, I've covered this, and I guess I will have to cover it from time to time because it's not something that's happening that I know of anywhere else in media that goes to the heart of this matter. Now, typically in local media, as is with national media, they'll try to find like a local expert on either child and family services or psychiatric care, you know, some things like this. So here, let's hear a few of the talking head points of the interview about this on that local affiliate.
Where are the lines? As a parent, where kind of are my rights and where are the dividing lines between, you know, what type of care I want to give my child? Where is that line, Lisa?
Well, certainly they lie first with the parent. But it's really amorphous where...
Whoa. Amorphous. It's really amorphous. That just tells you everything you need to know about the role of government in taking away children. It's an amorphous role. What is amorphous? It's just shape-shifting. It just kind of morphs around, and here we decide this way, and Marianne Godboldo is the woman we're going after today. Who's going to be tomorrow? Is it the vaccine? You know, amorphous. You almost don't have to go any further than that to understand. You are putting your children's life and care by virtue of the things that you ask, and you don't even know it. Well, you ask of government permission. May we be residents? May we be citizens? May we be what? Married? May we have children? And when we have children, can we certify that they're alive? All of these things, as I mentioned, contracts of adhesion that lead to this scenario, including the admission of your children into government indoctrination centers, of which they claim jurisdiction at that moment over you, dominion over you and your family. No, I am not exaggerating. This is how it happens. Marianne Godboldo's mistake, if I would say it this way, was allowing her daughter to talk her into sending her to public school. While she was homeschooling, she was much better, in much better shape, although that wouldn't have been completely out of the woods perspectively. But had she not sent her child to public school, there would have been no bogus mandate that would convince Marianne Godboldo to get her child updated on her vaccine so she could go to school. Remember that? No shots, no school, not true. But you'll never hear that in the old media. Now, they're going to back you up and say it's amorphous, right? She just said it's amorphous. When they become involved, they're talking about health services, human services, whatever they do, where they just take over as the parent. Let's hear what else they have to say.
A parent is obligated to provide appropriate care so that a child is not suffering risk of immediate harm to their mental, emotional, or physical well-being.
Okay, so they must not be in acute or immediate harm. Where was the immediate harm in this case? It was coming from the state-sanctioned psychiatric drugs, risperidol. And this woman acted in good conscience. This mom acted in good. To withdraw the dangerous, sometimes deadly drug. Yet in this case, the state, they bring out the big guns to enforce the drug edict, to enforce the pharmaceutical mandate, to get the kickbacks needed to function their child and family services centers, of which we found conflicts of interest in covering this story earlier in the year. Do you trust governmental authorities to make the decision about acute care? What's appropriate? Are they? Are they conflicted? As we have found with the IOM report, which showed ripe conflicts of interest up and down, in and out, everywhere. And this is happening on the local level. Remember the kickbacks that schools get when more kids are on Ritalin. They get more money. And of course, this is the way the game is played, as big pharma, big media, big government, all in bed together in an incestual relationship. And who gets harmed? The kids, the families, the children. And of course, now we got to determine it wasn't an acute response issue. There wasn't a life and death matter. What was at stake here?
So really the question here is, in a failure to provide psychotropic medication, does that mean that's an acute situation where this child is going to suffer immediate harm to her well-being? And I think that's for the judge still to decide.
Any thought, Lisa, on which way you think it'll go, or do you not make predictions?
It's hard to make a prediction. I think this is a difficult case. This is different
than difficult.
A life or death medical decision.
Yes.
This is a parental decision of a parent who is seeking alternate medical remedies for her
child. Thank you, exactly.
That she was actually actively pursuing, as I understand it.
Yes. Oh, well, that's enough right there. Actually pursuing. This is not difficult. What's difficult about this? There was no acute response needed. And of course, this mother was not neglectful. She was actually looking at other options, reaching out to her community. And yet, the heavy-handed police, medical police state, as we see, the militarization of the entire medical profession. I'm calling out all of you doctors, you medical doctors who are not speaking out against your own profession here. It's almost tantamount to acquiescing to some kind of righteousness or lawfulness when we're dealing with lawlessness. This profession has become renegade because it adopted this idea that it should have special status over all others. We shall be exalted with our high medical degrees, licensed by the state to do that which no one else is allowed to do. Doctors, it is time to speak out against this criminality, this rife criminality. In the case of Marion Gabaldo, one more example. When is the next time that they're coming for your child? And will they come for your child if you're a doctor that stops vaccinating? Because they'll turn on you as fast as they've turned on the rest of the public and turn on the Marion Gabaldos of the world, the inner city minorities. They are going after them to keep them in line. And boy, oh boy, do I have to cover some stuff next hour on this issue. You want to talk about racism? It's not in the deep South. I'm going to tell you it's in the deep North, the Northeast, the Ivy League corridor. And we'll talk about how racism plays and rears its ugly head in biological mysticism coming out of Harvard, Yale, Princeton. It's going to be some shocking discussion next hour. You're going to have to stay with me. It'll be a little adult, so I'll warn you. The kids, you might want to hide their ears or cover their ears because we're going to be covering some intense discussion on this topic a little later in the show. But I want to continue because there was a little bit more on the revelations as the news unfolded yesterday. So let's see what it goes next.
There was a rush of exuberance as family, attorneys, and supporters emerged from the courtroom. Judge Ronald Giles dismissed all criminal charges against Marion Gabaldo, who was involved in a standoff with Detroit police over custody of her daughter.
Oh, I'm very pleased, feel very blessed, and I hope this is the end of the criminal phase of this so that we can move on and I can begin to take even more better care of my daughter. I'm very pleased that Judge Giles ruled in the way that he did because justice prevailed.
The judge ruled the order removing 12-year-old Ariana from her mother's home back in March of this year was unconstitutional.
It is ridiculous to go in to remove, in this court's opinion, somebody's child based on this order. It does not even express any situation where we have exigent circumstances where it says the child is at risk.
See, there's the case. The child wasn't at risk. This judge got it right. bless him for doing so. I still, it's a scary thing to ever have to find yourself in this situation. He said the order was unconstitutional. There was no need for this raid. It was an unlawful raid. Therefore, all criminal proceedings have to stop against Marion Godboldo. Yet she still hasn't got her child back because the civil side of this. They can't have this mom not drugging her child. This is the kind of dangerous nonsense that we're still dealing with and we're going to be talking about and covering as long as it's going on here. Because you subject yourself to the jurisdiction of the state, you're asking for trouble. Nothing but trouble. And this is where we want to restore not only sanity, let's say in a general legal sense or lawful sense, but integrity to the family. Stop asking for special privileges of government to protect you. You have got to protect yourself. Marion Godboldo, God bless her, she decided to take care of herself and her family, but not before it was too late because they said, no, we own you. We own you. Are we all slaves on the plantation? And I don't use those words lightly. And this isn't having to do with this particular discussion now about being black, white, red, yellow, or anything. But we're all in that same boat, even though they're more likely to attack someone they perceive to be vulnerable, an inner city minority. But there are certainly cases of those who had less pigmentation that were attacked as well. And what was disappointing to me, as I saw the story yesterday unfold, some of the comments on the webpage, it's because she's black and she got away with it, the judge ruled, they get away. No. They don't get it at all. These folks do not get it. They think this is a racial issue on the part of the judge that basically ruled against the state in this case. No, this is about every family, white, black, red, or as I said, this goes beyond that. This is something we should all take cognizance of and realize that if we subject ourselves to special privileges, we allow ourselves to accept special privileges from the government, they come with strings attached. They always have, and they always will. Don't kid yourself. Oh, not mine. No, not my school. Not my neighborhood. No. Government is force. It uses fraud or force. It is the only entity that can do so legally. Occasionally, you'll get a judge that will rule against the state. Conflicts of interest. I wonder why it ever does. Occasionally, it happens. Maybe that's just to show that, not total rebellion yet. Please don't rebel totally. Listen, we got to talk about some more issues regarding civil disobedience relating to vaccinations. And we're going to do a little bit more on the Marion Godboldo story as well. Remember, if you have any questions or comments, call me at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355, robertscottbell.com. All the greatest links are up there for the show today. And I appreciate you being here. We're going a little long on this. I'll shorten up the next segment. We'll catch you up with everything that's going on. Thanks for listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. Coming right back.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as Sovereign Silver and Nordic Naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are known to be connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Godboldo had been charged with three felonies, including the discharge of a weapon. The State Department of Human Services ordered the removal of the girl, claiming Godboldo had refused to give her daughter controversial antipsychotic medication.
It sent a message to Detroit police. When you come in someone's house and you're taking their child, you have to be lawful.
It was 5 weeks that I lost with my daughter, and it was excruciating. I mean, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I was very uncomfortable, but when she came home, I was very happy, very elated, and very excited to be a mother again.
Civil proceedings involving Godboldo's custody of her daughter are continuing. Meantime, the Wayne County prosecutor plans to appeal the decision to dismiss the criminal charges to circuit court.
Isn't that amazing? After all that she's been through, they're actually appealing the decision of the judge who said you had no lawful authority to go in and take that child. And yet they're still coming after you. Is there any reason why the inner city poor folks do not rebel, rise up in rebellion against their captors in this case, that they would do this? And of course, if they can do it to Marion Godboldo, they can do it to anybody. It is time to roll back. It is long past time to roll back this unconstitutional growth of horrific, horrific child and family protective services. They're named by many different names. And you might say, but well, look at all the kids we save. Of course, it's always argued that in a collective fashion. And there are sometimes legitimate cases of abuse that can be addressed differently. But this clearly was not one of them. And what we need to be looking at is the endorsement of abuse by the state. Remember my friend Liam Sheff, the conspiracy realist. He covered horrific actions against children in a state facility in New York where they literally surgically opened up them and inserted tubes into their stomachs to force feed them toxic chemo agents to address something that wasn't even there in the term of HIV. And this relates to something we're going to talk about next hour. But, I'm a little bit emotional at this moment. I'm elated that Marion Godboldo the charges were dropped, but they're still going to appeal it. And she's still got the civil issues. And she still has not gotten her daughter, Ariana, back, which is sad, saddening beyond belief. So let me move on here from that. And thanks for bearing with me. I wanted to get that news out. It's great news overall. It's big news. And I hope that no other child has to suffer or family or mom has to suffer such a tragedy in the future. Let that be a lesson to all of us. But where else is there civil disobedience? Coming out of California, California, thousands of California parents are what? Not vaccinating their children despite whooping cough outbreak. And despite the fact that we've covered this story here that shows that the vast majority, pretty much all of them, happening among vaccinated children, but they're really upset because the non-vaccination rate, in California, it's a little easier than some states. They have a personal belief exemption. In a lot of states, you have to have a religious, philosophical, or medical. Sometimes they'll only allow religious. And a lot of parents are very nervous about that because they say, well, the church I go to, the synagogue I go to, whatever, doesn't have a position on vaccination. So they think, well, I can't do a religious exemption because my church doesn't say that. Well, if you read the Bible, if you follow that book, of course, to inject foreign animal proteins into your child, I don't think that follows along with any church doctrine that I'm aware of. But leave that aside for a moment. If 99% of the parishioners in your church, wherever you want to call, believe in vaccination, you're the 1% that doesn't, that is good enough for a religious belief exemption. Very important to understand. But here they have the personal belief exemption, which is it's similar. It just uses different terms. In California, they don't like to use the term religious. There was a 9.5% personal belief exemption rate, more than four times the state average in Santa Cruz County, the Earth Muffin capital of the United States. Lots of crunchy granola sweet, organic crunchy granola there in Santa Cruz. Beautiful area. People are into natural things, and so they're not vaccinating. So they want, you know, a 95% rate, according to the state. Listen to this. State experts. Again, think of this term. When the state gives you an expert, you know they're an absolute numbnut that probably couldn't read the back of a phone book with the advertisement for a lawyer somewhere. State experts say that as long as 95% of a population is immunized, herd immunity keeps contagious diseases from spreading. This is the lie that keeps on going. They just keep saying, herd immunity, move on. And, of course, it is a complete lie and a fabrication. There is no evidence to support the claim of herd immunity. But the vaccine rates, of course, increasingly not as high in these areas where you've got people that are awakening to the danger of vaccination. And, of course, they're going to try and discredit these families, these parents. Oh, yes, they're crunchy granola, sweet-eating, hippie liberals. Yet those same hippie liberals probably aren't speaking out against the government raids on Rossum and raw milk farmers. So it's kind of a strange dichotomy. In fact, it isn't only hippie liberals. There can be conservative yuppies, urban professionals as well, that are waking up. In fact, the more, let's say, education, formal, informal, or whatever, that you have, now you're more likely to ask questions of your doctor than you are if you don't know to ask those questions because you just respect authority blindly, which is a very dangerous thing. Now, you've heard me here speak unequivocally out against the whole paradigm, fundamental starting point of vaccination, yet I have never called for the ban. I never called for the let's say, by force, the use of force, hold you or your family at gunpoint and say, don't vaccinate your child. I may believe strongly and passionately based on my experience and research and readings, but I would not stand in your way. I might try to communicate to you about the dangers, the risk, to give you some more information so you can make a fully informed decision. But I don't need the force of government to tell you what to do. And I am not going to play Mr. Government here and telling you what to do. I'm going to provide you with information based on the best of my ability, my experience, and speak to you truthfully and honestly about what I feel. But the government doesn't care for truth or facts or honesty. It only cares for coercion and economic benefit to them. And of course, by keeping you worshipful of their authority, even if they have no basis in science or anything else. Now, there's a story here, and I've got these linked up, including all of the Marion Godboldo videos. Lucia Paxton, a 39-year-old Santa Cruz resident, plans to sign a PBE, as they're calling it, form when her 10-year-old daughter enters middle school, just as she did when the girl entered kindergarten. Paxton and her husband decided against vaccination after reading 6 books. Oh, no, they read books! We were going to have to ban those books. Let's burn those anti-vaccination books. And they read about this, and they started talking with a relative whose child had a bad reaction. See, they're going to have to shut down parents who've had children with bad reactions and prohibit them from speaking out because it's causing a lot more parents to question the entire paradigm. She rejects the notion that this is a counterculture trend led by irresponsible or hippie-loving parents. See this? This is the awareness. It's not just about hippies. Your child's health is not a trend, she says. Every parent wants their kids to be healthy and to have a good life. A few years ago, their normally healthy daughter, whom they homeschool, came down with whooping cough. Was it scary? She says, absolutely, Paxton said. Did I second guess myself about vaccine? She said, a little bit. But she revisits her decision every year, and she says she's considering getting her daughter the chickenpox vaccine. See, this doesn't even sound like a woman that's committed to that, so their arguments are falling on deaf ears in reality. And the Geyers, and I have a link up to this story about a father-son scientific team, and they're good people. They've got a lot of integrity, certainly scientific integrity, and they are, in fact, pro-vaccination. But I respect them immensely because they're taking on the issue with all of the science that they have on the thimerosal mercury-containing vaccines, and they're saying, clean it up. Clean it up. And rather than going, yeah, we should clean it up, we're talking about the authorities now, they're attacking the Geyers, trying to take their license away from them. So you realize the motivation of the vaccine apologists is not to reveal the science. It's not to green the vaccines. It's not to make them safer. It's about shutting you up. It's about disallowing any questioning, any exemptions, shutting down the ability to communicate, because these authoritarians want followers. They want slaves. They want indentured servants. And of course, they want the cash that comes from a population dependent upon more and more pharmaceutical intervention. Case in point, the Institute of Medicine report came out yesterday. We covered it intensely right here with Mike Adams on the Robert Scott Bell Show. And if you haven't seen the story, link to it, read it at naturalnews.com. You'll understand. This is all about the militarization of the entire medical industrial complex. And when we ended the show yesterday, toward the end, we were talking with Dr. Batar about healers, right? My goal, my dream to be a healer when I was little. It was the only pattern, or let's say model, that I had was modern medicine. And what I found was so much more extraordinary, life-affirming, and healing in homeopathic medicine. And there are so many ways to heal that go beyond the drug, allopathic, doctor, pharmaceutical model. And Dr. Batar rightfully said, you may be a healer and you don't need to be a doctor. Amen. God bless you for recognizing and acknowledging that. And we need more people to understand that healing is not about licenses. It's not about degrees. Great if you want to go that way. But many of you have gifts of healing that are snuffed out should you enter into these contractual obligations or indebtedness to the schools that will water down their teaching to keep you basically controlled to a drug paradigm, a drug culture. And I've even criticized the chiropractors for taking that position that they also needed to be licensed just like the MDs. And it's destroyed a lot of the integrity of their profession. Yes, there are still good chiropractors out there, but yes, there are still good MDs and DOs out there despite it. But licensure is something that has got to go. I don't have a lot of time to go into that right now. But suffice it to say, the theme here, I guess, is government intrusion, intervention into our lives. And, of course, the mandates that come from it. Next, you want to know, they're going to say that all people need to come through us, the government, to learn how to lose weight, not be obese.
Too late for that.
What's that, Don?
It's already happened.
Well, there is a... Okay, well, there you go. It happened already. Well, let's take a break and cover that story next. How do we lose weight? I'll tell you that as well. Stay with me. The Robert Scott Bell Show rocks on for health, freedom, and liberty. Next.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Got a question for Robert?
Call now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Now, I was almost joking about the government having to take the lead role in tackling obesity, and then Don sends me this email. It's like, look at this story, Robert. Tackling obesity epidemic needs to be government-led. This is off of Medical News Today. Got it linked up at the blog at robertscatbell.com. The final paper in the Lancet Obesity Series by Professor Stephen L. Gortmaker. Harvard. Oh, no. The Harvard School of Public Health in Boston, Mass. Boston. And colleagues addresses the interventions required to halt and reverse the epidemic by saying that the changes needed are likely to require many sustained interventions at several levels, but that national governments should lead them. We need centralized bureaucracy to tackle obesity because the local people, they don't know how to eat. Wait a second. You at the federal level, you know how to eat? Well, we don't know how to eat, but we're the federal government. We can figure it out. We'll just throw some money at it, take some more money. And of course, they'll surgically remove the money from you rather than the obesity from you. Many parties, and I quote here, such as governments, international organizations, the private sector, and civil society, need to contribute complementary actions in a coordinated approach. This sounds sort of like battlefield terminology, but I suspect it's more Big Brother happening here. George Orwell's happening because of obesity. Did he write about obesity? I don't remember. I don't think obesity was part of that. But it says here, as a quote further, priority actions include policies to improve the food and build environments, cross-cutting actions such as leadership, healthy public policies, and monitoring. Ooh, monitoring. There you go. And much greater funding for prevention programs. Funding prevention. This is what they talk about in terms of breast cancer. Let's fund prevention. What that means is let's throw money into ionizing radiation scanners to cause more breast cancer. And of course, the greater funding for prevention programs will probably put these people on low-fat diets and increase their obesity and disease. I strayed from their quote, didn't I? Oh, well, back to the quote. Increased investment. There you go. Investment. Where are they investing? They're investing in population obesity monitoring. Monitoring. This is it. 1984 in 2011 and 12. That would improve the accuracy of forecasts and evaluations. We do not need. You see the government forecasts on the Hurricane Irene? Think they're going to be better on obesity? Yeah. They need to steal more money from the American people in order to monitor them because they're eating improperly. Because the government doesn't know how to eat properly, and everything they do to direct people to eat properly makes it worse. Go back to mom and grandma when they used to prepare real food, grow their own food, cook their own food. Yes, and that means even in lard and fat and oh my gosh. Yes, all of these things that they say are bad for you are actually good for you. Now, I'm not saying everybody needs to eat loads of lard and fat, but certainly we could use a lot more fat than our fat-phobic culture will allow right now. What implementations should we consider, according to the authors? Well, feasibility, sustainability, and effects on equity as policymakers need to weigh the relative benefits of high-impact interventions reaching a modest number of people against lower-impact interventions reaching wider populations. That's right. They're going to fund billboards. You're fat. Get off your tushy and move. Of course, it's not always as simple as that. And if people really want to lose weight, the simplest thing they could do is to go raw. If they eat raw vegetarian foods, even the most obese among us would drop weight dramatically and drastically. They wouldn't even necessarily have to cut calories. They could load up on a lot of good raw veggies, raw fruits even, and they would still lose weight, tremendous amounts of weight. But I would also encourage anybody who's dealing with obesity to go back and listen to my show where I was interviewed about the liver from a couple of weeks back. And that will help you to understand that you're really dealing with, in obese people, real obese people, diseases of toxicity, absolute starvation. These people are starving. What, Robert? But they're fat. They're obese. How is it that they're starving? Their bodies are desperately holding on to every ounce of everything they're throwing in, just desperately trying to find the nutrients in the food that they're eating. And much of the food that they're eating in obesity is not food at all. It's processed food stuffs. If there are any minerals there, that's news. If there are any vitamins, they're likely added in as synthetic because they've been ripped out initially in the processing phase. And then they convince you that what you're eating is food. And guess who suffers the most? Yep, the inner city poor. Is this government activated racism? Something to consider. I know it's not racism in the sense of black-white necessarily because we're dealing with socioeconomic status because we also see that in poor inner-city white folks as well. And I'm not one that tends to dwell on pigmentation of the skin, but I reference and recognize that there are people that do, and I'd like to call them out on it. And again, that's something we're going to do. We're going to have a very adult, difficult discussion next hour about who the real racists are in our society. And it may upset some of you. Some of you may be going, heck yeah, Robert, it's about time you talked about this as well. And we'll talk about it in terms of not obesity, but immune deficiency, real or imagined. And the retrovirus never caught in the act of doing anything. That supposed HIV supervillain. But in the meantime, what are we going to do? Raw, organic, detoxify, go back to growing your own food. Yeah, as they try to ban you from doing so, the battle lines have been drawn. And we're on the side of liberty. We're on the side of nutrition. They're on the side of pharmacy. They're on the side of sorcery. They're on the side of enslavement. And that fundamentally does not work for me. And I imagine it doesn't work for you. But what do we do about it? In this story about obesity, guess where they go? Yep, they go to the United Nations. Where else would you go to handle obesity? But the UN. The UN meeting provides a key opportunity to strengthen international leadership from the UN and its agencies and to stimulate other agencies and states to begin seriously addressing the continued global epidemic of obesity. Beyond that meeting, the test will be how well member states match their declarations with supportive funding and policies to support global action. This is not about obesity at all. This is about enslaving all of planet Earth under the New World Order and the United Nations to dictate food policy, to eliminate all supplements from the planet, to allow drugging of all obese people, surgical interventions, and the like. And we're going to extract not only a pound of flesh, but a lot of Federal Reserve notes or other fiat currencies from you in the process. This global tax on fat, on obesity. It could be on global warming. It could be that they're going to blame obese people for global warming next. And Al Gore will come to you and say, hey, you're not being a good earthling. This is the crazy stuff we have to cover. Although here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we'll talk legitimately about how to reduce obesity through detoxification, through changes in the diet that are real. Not this airy, fairy United Nations One World Order fantasy that if we could just take more money from the member states and invest in some kind of obesity reduction program by buying billboards around the world and putting up ribbons on them. Let's do a colored ribbon. What color will they have? They have pink for breast cancer. They have red for AIDS. They have, what do we got? Could we have fuchsia for obesity? What do we do? What do we do? It's going to be a feel good. Oh, the ribbon for obesity. And I'm not making light of anybody who is morbidly obese. I feel for you. Whoever you are out there, wherever you are. But the way to get there is not to ask the national or the federal government. Certainly not the international governing non-governmental organizations coming from the UN and its agencies. But it is simply to realize that obesity is not a collective problem. There is no pandemic for obesity. There is no epidemic for obesity, as they're calling it. There is only one obese human at a time, and it's not a communicable disease. It's a commercial disease, if you will. It's a commercial disorder. It's a synthetic food disorder. It's a synthetic drug disorder. But the United Nations, in bed with the World Health Organization as an offshoot of it, and the pharmaceutical industrial complex, now tied also in with the military industrial complex, this plays right in to the militarization of the entire medical industry. And I come back to you doctors out there. God bless you if you're doing the right thing. But it is time to speak out against your own profession, governing boards and state licensing boards. It is time to roll back and allow freedom back in to the healing professions, all of them, but especially those who have had special status above all others, those with medical degrees, with licenses from the state. It is time to roll back the medical monopoly, allow all healers to heal without licenses, without restrictions. There are already laws and statutes on the books of the 50 states against force and fraud. Nobody can pretend to be who they're not. That is a violation of the law. We do not need licensure. Licensure is about prohibiting and eliminating competition and protecting the incompetence of any given monopolistic profession. Do I have an opinion about this? Oh, maybe just a little one. Maybe you have one too. Am I calling for something outrageous? Robert, you're being outrageous. You've gone too far this time. You're wanting to get rid of licensure laws. Then chaos will reign. People will be dying in the streets. They're already dying in the hospitals. They're dying in the doctor's offices. They're dying needlessly due to the medical monopoly. It is time to end the med. I'll be right back.
You're looking for FDA-approved radio. You're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the Natural Health Community. It's pretty cool there. You can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos. Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
Lest you think I am promoting an idea that is impossible to implement when I talk about end the med, end the medical monopoly. It is not impossible, and it comes down to the use of energy. And I talk about that from time to time here as a homeopath working with energy all the time. We must withdraw the energy that is utilized to enslave us, and that is true of the medical monopoly. The medical docs out there, DOs, anybody that gets a license, you have the ability to band together and withdraw consent of the governed, in a sense. Withdraw consent of the licensing board. Decommission them. Lobby your own government. Lobby your own state government to say, end the medical licensing board. We don't need it. We don't want it. We feel confident enough that we can compete in a free market for healing. And I, as a doctor, say, state your name, don't need to be restricted by the licensing laws. In fact, I know better than them. I know better than the licensing boards about what is a standard of care that is helpful for my patients, and I give them all the information so they can make a fully informed decision. We will have a lot more Dr. Batars potentially out there once you release the restrictions on the medical profession to actually integrate natural therapies that work as opposed to being afraid of their shadow. How many times have I talked to medical doctors about options in dealing with infectious disease? Whether it be utilizing silver hydrosol, copper, oil of oregano, different things, botanicals, homeopathics, to eradicate infection without creating resistance. And then they go, well, Robert, I wish I could use it. I know it'll work. But if I do, the medical board will come after me. They'll come after my license. They'll take away my livelihood. And I've got hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt for medical school, Robert. I just can't do it. And of course, that's another issue, the restrictions on education. The artificial restrictions and monopoly there have created a fundamental dysfunction, an economic dysfunction that makes medical education cost prohibitive without going into $250,000, sometimes $500,000 in debt. And then you know you got them. You got them. You got those docs are going to do whatever you tell them to do, the licensing boards, because they realize if they're pulled out of that game, out of that license, they lose their ability to ever pay back those loans, however illegitimate they are. So anyway, that's part of the equation. I want people to start thinking. I know it may not happen overnight, although the collapse of the state economically may bring it about. I want you to be prepared. Find out who the doctors are. Docs, you find out who the good patients are that'll support you in your endeavor to help them to heal. Let's together free up all the healers to heal. And that means you, all of you. And of course, if I've gone too far on that as well, calling for the end of licensure, let me know. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. As I said, we're going to get decidedly adult next hour. I'm going to have a very intense conversation about some things that are very uncomfortable. And I'm warning you right now, if you can't handle that, then of course turn it off after we're done with this segment. Otherwise, you'll continue on with me on this journey to healing on all levels. This is a story, though, that's very interesting, and it kind of affects me. This is a story. It says, pediatrician. This is off of CNN Health. Pediatricians seek to KO youth boxing. Why do they want to KO youth boxing? Well, they say it's too dangerous. Kids are getting beat up. Listen, I'm involved in boxing, and I see a lot of kids there that are boxing. They wear a lot of headgear. Actually, if you talk about amateur boxing, which is what we're talking about now, actually has a pretty good safety track record relative to a lot of sports out there, and not even close, in fact. So am I advocating a brutal beating kids to a pulp violence? No. But in fact, boxing programs are taking a lot of kids from the inner city off the street, giving them a skill, teaching them discipline, and making them less likely to engage in violent behaviors outside of the ring in many cases. I never was into boxing before I took it up. I didn't really get it, and I do now. But if we talk about the real concerns that we have, of course, for knocking heads, I would say every boxer, every parent, if your kid's involved in boxing, you make sure you send them with a little vial of Arnica Montana or Wounds Recovery Formula from King Bio. And, of course, if there is a head injury, Natrum Sulfuricum, homeopathic Natrum Sulfuricum. We have ways to address this. They even say the data on head injuries is so scarce. And I wanted to look at the stats on injuries to all sports and all kids. And I was looking up this national list. They have this National Center for Sports Safety. And CNN is like hyping this. Oh, ban all the youth boxing. But look at this. I looked at the stats on injuries to all the sports. They don't even list boxing. It's not even in the list. And I was shocked by, do you know which one is the most dangerous sport of all the sports? You know, some of you would say football. I would have thought, well, football, yeah, it's a violent, intense, smash-em-up thing, but it's not. I mean, it's a lot of injuries there, 413,620 annually, and that's that was in 2001. This is the latest stat I'm seeing here anyway. Let's see, what was the worst? Gymnastics, no, but there was a lot, almost 100,000 injuries in gymnastics. Baseball had 170,000. Soccer, 163,000. Track and field, not so many, 15,000. Hockey, you think the fights break out in hockey? Only 63,000 or so. But the worst sport of all. Why isn't CNN calling for the ban of this, huh? Where's LeBron James calling for the ban of his own sport? It's basketball. In the year 2001, 680,307 injuries. I mean, this looks like make boxing look like a little, you know, tea party with dolls. Let's sit around and drink. I mean, there's safety gear. There's so much involved in boxing that is about discipline and not killing people. Now, in professional boxing, I'm not speaking about that. The head injuries there are very real, and I'm not discounting the fact that there will never be a head injury in boxing either in the amateur level. But compare it to basketball, it's not even close. And if we were an open society that would allow the realities of healing to come about, every trainer in every sport would have Arnica right in there in the training office to not only apply topically, but to provide for homeopathically internally. But you're likely not going to see that because of the medical monopoly. It would go against the professional code of ethics and blah, 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 where we're not allowed to do anything but pharmaceutical pseudoscientific medicine because it's sanctioned and licensed again. Don't get me started on that again. I know. End the med. Yes. I do want to hear from you on this issue. Have I gone too far in calling for the end of the medical monopoly? Could we handle states without licensure? Could we handle it if doctors could hang a shingle and they're not licensed? I mean, think about it. Couldn't they be board certified? Private certifications? Couldn't you find out through Consumer Reports-like organizations that rate doctors? Couldn't you find out by public bulletin boards? Craigslist, Angie's List, and all of these things? Wouldn't that be a way to go about it? I mean, you couldn't malign and maliciously slander, but there's still laws against that. But aren't there ways to go about this? Could we protect people without licensure? Couldn't we apply the laws against force and fraud against doctors and non-doctors alike who could compete in a free market for your healing dollar? And would not then reduce the expenditures, because in a monopoly, everything is more expensive and untenable. When freedom and a free market takes place, the cream does rise to the top. But in the other, in the monopoly, oftentimes it's the idiots that rise to the top and are protected. That is not what I can endorse here. But I do want to hear from you. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. You can put up your comments also at robertscottbell.com. I want to say thanks, of course, to Natural News Radio, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, for all of his support in getting this message of health, freedom, and liberty out every day. Also, hat tip to all the others that have picked up the Robert Scott Bell Show, including the Prepper Podcast Network at prepperpodcast.com. Those of you listening through talkstreamlive.com. All I'm here to do is remind you of this simple fact: that the power to heal is yours. I'll be right back.
The Robert Scott
the
Bell
Robert
Show.
Scott Bell Show. are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn,
today, Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
This hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show, we take a decidedly adult turn as we're going to take on adult topics, considering our discussions of HIV and AIDS prior to this. We've never taken on NPR before, National Public Radio, the snooze fest that it is. Now it is time. I'm so outraged. I'm so disgusted by what I've heard on NPR about its treatment, about its viewpoint of Africans starving, abject poverty. And the viewpoint that these people need drugs, not nutrition, that they need to be monitored like little children. I will let you know that our discussion will be frank and direct. The conspiracy realist, my friend Liam Sheff, will join me to talk about these issues as well in a little while. And, of course, I think it's going to elevate the discussion in a very positive way. But in order to get there, we're going to have to confront some very ugly and uncomfortable things. So stand by. We're going to go there. But first, remember yesterday we were talking about cholesterol and cardiovascular health in the advanced medicine segments with Dr. Bitar? And lo and behold, I see after the show yesterday, MedPage Today is covering this story. Underuse of cardiac preventive meds, a global tragedy. Preventive medicine, isn't that weird? We'll put toxic substances into your body to prevent disease. Never mind that we're going to destroy your liver in the process. We're going to deplete your cells of coenzyme Q10, the essential energy machines makers, if you will, in the cells of the muscles, especially that muscle that works the hardest throughout your life, the cardiac muscle. Preventive strategies with drugs. These people are on pharmaceutical crack. This story emanates out of Paris. Effective secondary prevention medications are underused in patients with coronary heart disease and stroke, particularly in rural areas and in poorer countries, researchers revealed in the European Society of Cardiology. This is colonialism. This is medical colonialism. And it happened in Europe as England took it on, France took it on, Belgium took it on, Portugal, Spain. They all did it. And of course, the American Empire has done it as well. And this relates to something we'll get into a little later. But first and foremost, I wanted to revisit this from yesterday because the focal point on cardiovascular drugs, now they're targeting the poorest people on planet Earth who have no drug deficiency. Even the richest people on planet Earth have no drug deficiency diseases. Now, the highest rate of use was for blood pressure lowering medications. This is a big class of drugs. Always coming back to liver congestion, kidney congestion, but nothing the drug doctors do helps that. It only makes it worse. 43% of patients with coronary heart disease and 40% of those with stroke received one. This is according to the report. Patients living in poorer countries or rural areas had the lowest rates of use, although usage was not ideal even in the wealthiest countries. See, it's not ideal until everybody's on them. You got to understand how to read the code language here. Until we militarize not space, but the space between your ears to accept that you are just one drug deficiency shy of a heart attack, a stroke, or cancer. We have not accomplished our goal of world drug domination, where there is no escape from the synthetic molecules approved by government agencies around the world, particularly the Fear and Death Administration in America, and how these so-called third world areas follow as if we are better than them. We are not. In many ways, we are worse than them, and I am proud to say it. well, maybe I'm not proud to say it, but I'm saying in how we have treated them, how we've disgustingly intoxicated our own people and then exported those toxins through the Federal Reserve System, the World Bank, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, the CDC, all around the world, trying to convince everybody on planet Earth that they need drugs when they don't. They need nutrition. They need detoxification. They need sanitation and hygiene. What we need is a global declaration of independence from drugs, from pharmaceuticals, from the pharmaceutical industrial complex. And even if it's not global, make it local. Make it your goal. I'd like to say New Year's resolution. Whenever your new year starts, hey, make it start today. Declare your independence from the drug culture emanating from governments around planet Earth and right here for most of my listeners in the United States, recognizing that our government has been co-opted, purchased, and completely absorbed by the drug industry. Go back and read the IOM report and the expose that Mike Adams wrote about it with all the help of you out there in Facebook land that helped to contribute to this information. And you'll begin to understand what is at stake, what has happened, what is real, what is not. How are we in such a mess? And yes, I did mention the Federal Reserve briefly and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund as it relates to this, because without them, none of this would be possible. The globalization of industry, the harmonization of industry, the harmonization of intoxicating the people of planet Earth could not happen without the fiat money system emanated from the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. If you are not already on board the Ron Paul campaign for president, and I am not under the illusion that just because he could be president that all the world will change instantaneously. But certainly it will send a message to the global elitists that they no longer have people that are just going to roll over and take it. No longer going to roll up their sleeves like the parents are stopping it in California and other places around the world. No longer just going to acquiesce to the big pharma minions, the medical community, who stopped asking questions long ago and became the enablers of the drugging, of the hypnosis, of the weakening, of the lowering of the consciousness of the people of planet Earth. The consciousness is returning, but it is only returning to those who have eschewed the drug everything that moves paradigm. And that, among many reasons, is why I do what I do here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It's the wake-up call every day right here on Natural News Radio. And if you happen to be listening to this ad, it's an archive program. There are no cheap nosebleed seats here at Natural News Radio and the Robert Scott Bell Show. I'm grateful that you are with me today. As I said, we're going to get decidedly adult with Liam Sheff, so be prepared to have a discussion on another level with the next few segments here today as we delve into the demonic nature of NPR and their viewpoint of anybody not of their same socioeconomic status, cultural, religious, or even racial background. Yes, as it relates to AIDS and shocking revelations that happen on NPR that you'll never hear anywhere else, but we're going to let you know about them after this break. Go to robertscadbell.com. All the links are up there, as well as naturalnewsradio.com. Phone us if you'd like to at 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. Rocking the health world even more after this. Special thanks to the Prepper Podcast Network at prepperpodcast.com for carrying the voice of health, freedom, and liberty every day as well on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including the 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls-Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. Hira's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
Scott Bell Show.
We're joined now by my good friend, conspiracy realist, Liam Sheff. And we've got some talking to do because it turns out that some of the old media, the old guard, or the mainstream, lamestream, whatever you call it, and National Public Radio has covered some updates, or if you will, some new news regarding the HIV/AIDS scenario in Africa. Now, many of my longtime listeners have followed along as we've followed the bouncing scientific bubble ball as we realize that HIV doesn't do what they say it does, or if it does, there's no evidence to show it. Regardless, could it be that an NPR program has actually covered it correctly? Liam, you sometimes monitor it when you need to throw up, right? NPR. It's like, I feel like I got to get something out of my system, so you'll monitor NPR because it elicits that response, does it not?
It's a liver cleanse. Every once in a while, I'll turn it on during the week.
It does purge. It tends to purge you if you listen to NPR.
It stimulates the bile ducts, and yes, you're ready to go. Loose as a goose for the rest of the day. But I turned on the radio this weekend, and there's a show that, honestly, it gives me the creeps. It's maybe the creepiest show I've ever heard, called This American Life. But I turned it on, and they were always covering long, pretentious, boring issues. In fact, The Onion did the perfect spoof of it, saying that every possible problem or slight mental agitation that any white upper middle class person has ever had has been so well explored in this show that everybody can drop out of art school now. You know,
is this the loony liberal left? Are they not even Looney Tune because they don't even know it?
I don't know. I think they would probably mandate Prozac and drinking water.
I think they're drinking it because if you ever listen to NPR, I mean, it's a snooze fest.
I know. Well,
out like a light.
But
yes, what happened?
They came. I didn't know they could do this because their programming is boring. It's tough to listen to, honestly.
And
I don't know where they get their radio skills.
I'm a bit nervous about playing this clip
because we're going to drive people away. But this is a clip from This American Life, and they actually came forward and they told the truth, which is that, should we say it, HIV is very difficult to.
All right, bear with me, Robert Scott Bell Show audience. This is not like the Mr. Excitement moment, but I think it's very telling, very important. Open your ears. Listen to this clip from National Public Radio that Liam has got for us.
Oh.
Darts exciting.
Oh, God.
From WBEV in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
Ira Glass. With this American barf bag.
What?
Did he say?
Today, guest host Sarah Cunning talks about gossip. Gossip about one of the most serious things that we've ever heard or thought about, the deadly HIV/AIDS epidemic. The hateful racist epidemic mostly affects Africans for reasons that scientific research will someday sort out.
Well, maybe they should.
Guest host Sarah Cunning goes to Malawi and interviews a young woman who explains that because so many people have HIV/AIDS, they often rely on gossip to figure out who's safe to date or marry.
What?
Gossip? Did he say gossip?
This is, in fact, the basis for a giant research project requiring a lot of money from universities.
What? They're doing a research?
Some of the money has gone to a woman named Susan Watkins, who's been collecting journals filled with gossip from locals about AIDS.
Gossip?
It turns out that gossip is the best way to learn about AIDS in Malawi.
Is that true?
So what we're
Susan Watkins reveals that HIV is very hard to transmit.
What?
Even though this is entirely opposite from what we've been told our whole lives, we now accept it as a fact.
Really? Wait a second.
Did he just say that HIV is very hard to transmit?
Did he say that they're doing an entire research project based on gossip? Here, I'm looking at the...
I'm having a hard time believing this really happened.
University of Pennsylvania, the Malawi Diffusion and Ideational Change Project? They're trying to change people's ideas. This is the homepage of the Malawi Diffusion and Ideational Change Project, MDICP, led initially by Susan Watkins.
Look at that. And this is serious. It's listed over at the University of Pennsylvania Population Studies Center. And we've been covering a lot of things about population control recently, Lee. And this is actually serious. I mean, this NPR stuff, what they're covering here, I don't know if people will stay awake to listen through it all.
It's tough. What did the guy say? He said HIV is very difficult
to transmit.
But they're actually listening to people's gossip. Let's see. The MDICP was developed as a sister project of the Kenya Diffusion. Oh, they're doing this all over the place. Mm. Ideational Change Project.
This is like changing ideas. Look, he's covering about this gossip thing. And, you think that this is made up. It sounds like it's made up, but I'm looking at this here. They're actually saying, we've got to track HIV via gossip. I mean, we've covered the tests. You've written about them extensively. The test, what do they do? They don't test for it. So we got to rely on gossip. It's much more reliable than the tests, evidently.
She says that they want to go around and Susan Watkins at University of Pennsylvania working in Malawi says that we want to gather people's gossip. This has got to be the top of the – here it is again. Investinknowledge.org, the Malawian Journals Project, now in its 12th year. Young Malawians have been keeping diaries, recording conversations, conversations among rural residents pertaining to AIDS, love, sex, illness, life, death, and more, much more. It says, wait a second, this observational field journal project provides a rare picture of response to the AIDS epidemic. Why? They're studying Africans like they're children in a mental asylum.
Who's paying for this? Is this the same kind of promotional fees paid by the big pharmaceutical companies? Because this doesn't lead to anything good here, especially but they acknowledge something that is so stunning, and it's hard to make heads nor tails of it on NPR because they can say something and completely ignore that they've said something.
Well, it's just so strange. And honestly, the guy who's doing that narration's putting me to sleep. Did he call it American public?
American.
This American. Well, all right.
All right.
I cut that thing in half. Should we finish the
clip? Yeah, go ahead and finish it.
It's a little rough.
Just go ahead and finish
it. HIV is very hard to transmit.
What?
But that makes AIDS even more serious a problem. Because, as it turns out, by listening to the gossip collected by Susan Watkins and delivered to our reporter, Sarah Cunningham, on this American barf bag.
What? This American barf bag? That's not real.
That's what he said.
That sounds real.
I think it's very easy to transmit. Sometimes they don't want to use condoms, which makes the thing that's very hard to transmit sometimes transmitted, which is why there's been an AIDS epidemic.
What?
Which is why Africans need more AIDS drugs.
More AIDS drugs.
And mostly they need nosy master's degree holding basket weaver from New York University.
This guy's
State
not.
University of New York. To
he's
come
he's gonna be fired from NPR.
Have sex and make them more condoms.
What is he? He's creeping me out.
Totally.
From WBV in Chicago. This is this American barf bag.
Oh my God. I don't know who
that host is not going to be there tomorrow. You know that.
That's, wow, that was. You know that's not. I mean, there's another clip. Did you?
I think I want to hear the ladies talking about it because I understand that he was referencing what he may have heard on the same station there at WBEZ.
Well, there's one more clip. There's one more promo clip. How much time do we have?
We have enough. We can run it. Go ahead, Liam. This is important stuff, honestly.
This is confusing. Honestly, it's just.
Bear with us here. This is a very important revelation here that we're moving towards. And NPR, of course, the voice of reason in America. We must let them have their say.
All right, here it is. I'm sorry. It's Ira Glass and This American Life. Why is he calling it This American?
From WBZ in Chicago, this is Ira Glass.
Yeah?
But This American Barf Bag.
Why back.
On today's He's show, busted. Guest host Sarah Cunning interviews researcher, sociologist, Susan Watkins.
Who's so he's previewing
gossip
it.
About the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Malawi.
Do you have the clue?
Susan Watkins reveals some counterintuitive information, contradicting the conventional wisdom about HIV/AIDS.
Why does he say it that way?
Watkins explains that HIV is very difficult to transmit.
Really?
And even though this contradicts everything we've ever been told about HIV and AIDS, we, the producers of This American Barf Bag, college-educated, holding master's degrees in interdisciplinary studies relating to the intercultural application of pottery and basket weaving to unresolved childhood issues, aren't worried about that. In fact, the very fact that HIV is very difficult to transmit, according to mainstream AIDS researchers like Nancy Padian,
who?
Nancy Padian.
Isn't interesting to us at all.
He referenced the Padian study.
Because the reality is that being difficult to transmit makes HIV/AIDS even more of a problem for Africans.
Why would that
Wait a sec.
From our point of view, we have to babysit them and treat them like children, collecting their gossip, while mainstream doctors put them on drugs to peel their skin off and kill their children. We have to make sure to put condoms on everybody. If that sounds racist, maybe it's because it is.
It is?
It is.
Too smart to know it.
They're too smart.
They're too smart to know it, just
Join
like I said.
This American Barf Bag, coming up next.
God, that's rough.
You know, this at least
like
points for honesty.
Corporate sponsors.
Corporate sponsors.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Of
the
course.
Clinton Foundation. Archer Daniels Midland. Supermarket to the World.
Sounds
John
so nice.
Rockefeller when you... Foundation.
Oh.
Rockefeller.
Chrysler Corporation. Really, anybody else you can think of who's ever been implicated in any kind of war crime.
Oh.
This is NPR.
Wow.
National Public Radio.
Oh, that was rough.
This guy, no, points for honesty. incredible. How you found that clip is just, that must have like snuck out because they would never normally let that out in NPR. No
he
way.
He just said it.
He just laid it right out there, Liam.
Well, he said, they always say ADM, supermarket to the world. Doesn't that make it sound friendly? Archer Daniels Midland,
supermarket to the world. We feed everybody.
Doing all the genetic modification along with Monsanto. Forcing people to strip rare crops and to grow monoculture crops and just, oh my God. And he just comes out. He says it proudly. He even says, it sounds racist that even though this thing, even though the mainstream says it's hard to transmit, we are worried about Africa? All of Africa? What about their water supply? Did he mention that? Didn't mention clean water. Did mention giving them drugs that peel their skin off. He wasn't kidding. That's a drug called Nevirapine. I give him major kudos.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know who the guy is, but I guarantee he's not going to be working there much longer. But I think in terms of fairness, I really want to hear those ladies that he was referencing.
Well, this is Susan. This is Sarah Cunning, the reporter, I guess, and Susan Watkins running this project at the University of Pennsylvania. Here they go.
In a single act of intercourse with an infected person, about 97% of our respondents said it was certain or highly likely. And that's far from the truth. It's actually quite difficult to transmit HIV.
What?
She said it. You're right. She said it.
What?
She actually said it on NPR. It is actually quite hard to basically transmit the so-called HIV.
Maybe that was taken out of context.
You think it was taken out of context? Because, I mean, honestly, we know the scientific facts of it, but to have someone on NPR actually acknowledge it, it's kind of bizarre. I'm thinking maybe you twisted that one around.
What do you think the reporter is responding? Well, maybe
you
we
know,
should.
If she was a rational reporter, she would say, what did you just say? Right? What? Hard to transmit? Excuse me?
You hear the record skip.
Right.
Excuse me?
Well, exactly. That's what I would expect to see. Now, this is a real clip here. I want to hear what the response is of the co-host or host of this show. Can we do that, or should we do that after the break?
Let's come back after the break and admit that maybe those first clips were us having a little bit of – but maybe when we come back. But this stuff, this is the real thing. This is really NPR saying HIV is very hard to transmit, and you won't believe the response.
Yeah, this is stunning. You stand by. We've got the real NPR clip coming up after the break. Shocking as it may seem, you've got to stay with me to find out the facts of what is happening out there in, what do you call National Public Radio?
Neural Prosthetic Radio.
Neural Prosthetic Radio, much more appropriate way to describe it. Liam Schaff, the conspiracy realist, is in the house, and we've got lots more healing to go on a controversial topic that NPR dared release. We're going to see where it goes from here after this.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Hold that shrimp on the Barbie until you find out about Papaya 35 Multiply Plus, direct from Australia. All-natural, GMO-free Papaya 35 Multiply Plus is made from fermented papaya and pomegranate, rich in natural probiotics, digestive enzymes, and antioxidants. Now get this spectacular product to boost your natural killer cells to help your immune system and improve your digestion at the same time. So now you can have your shrimp on the Barbie, feel better, and if you act now, get a great down-under price and free shipping on each product that you order. Don't wait. Go to onestophealthshop.com and order now. That's one-stop-health-shop.com. Get that great down-under price and free shipping right now at one-stop-health-shop.com. That's one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only five-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my five-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Many people have heard our ads on the benefits of truly undamaged whey protein, but they still do not believe there can be such an immense difference between heated whey and unheated whey. So I'd like to direct your attention to the comparative photos of two cows. The website address is too long to say on the radio, so please go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com and download the free report on the miraculous health benefits of unheated whey. In this report is a website address that shows the comparative photos of two cows. The cow fed cooked milk looks sick compared to the cow fed raw milk, which looks healthy. Seeing is believing. I was never a fan of protein powders in the past until I was introduced to One World Whey. Now I know that the special means of processing whey to preserve what nature put into it has never been achieved until now. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert Bly.
He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Robert Scott Bell Show.
Shocking revelations today on the Robert Scott Bell Show as the conspiracy realist Liam Sheff back in studio revealing that NPR allowed slip the difficulty of transmission of the so-called retrovirus, never caught in the act of doing anything, even though they believe it does everything. And that's the issue of HIV and AIDS, particularly in Africa, the study of gossip on Malawians and others or along the African continent. And Liam's been really perceptive in picking up what NPR has been doing on this. And we got to almost a revelatory point. The reaction is what we're going to get to here. But, Liam, quite honestly, that first thing, this American barf bag. What was that?
Well, maybe that was me having a little fun at their expense, but only using their actual words. They actually have this, you can't believe it, this must be a master's degree holding something, psychologist Susan Watkins from the University of Pennsylvania, going over to lead the Malawi Diffusion and Ideational Change Project, calling Big Brother ideational change. It will only hurt a little bit, and then you won't remember who you are. So they're trying to get into the heads of Africans to see what they really think about their sex lives.
This is such an elitist, racist view of Africans, is it not? I mean, I just can't see anything pleasant about their view, and they're cheery and chatty and giggly about this.
we'll play it, and we'll hear how they talk down when they're thinking about the lives of, like, they're talking about little children pulling down their pants or something like this.
We don't often, you know, put other shows on here, but this is so illustrative of the old media and the elitist, the kind of Harvard
Princeton, Yale elitist in the way they look at things, NYU as well, that it makes me nauseous. You know, This American Barf Bag is more appropriate as a name, Liam. I think you did it right. But, yeah, let's hear from them. This is the real deal from NPR now.
Here we go.
He loves her.
Yeah, no, I love her. And anyway, I bought her all this stuff. Exactly.
And he also says, if I remember, well, if she's got it, I already have it anyway. And if she has HIV, I've already got it then anyway. So what's the point of giving her up?
Exactly. That's a major misconception among Malawians and also I've worked in Botswana and Swaziland. And there, I think it's all over. That they vastly overestimate the probability of transmission in a single act of intercourse with an infected person.
All right, wait a second. We've been told for 25 years that this is a deadly transmissible virus. We've been told that
one act could result in your death.
40 million Africans at one point were estimated to have HIV/AIDS. They don't even say, there's no idea of separating the two.
Yes.
AIDS is immune deficiency. You can get immune deficiency by drinking out of your toilet for a couple of days. Believe me, you'll have it. Mm-hmm. HIV is a made up name for bad tests that give all kinds of, anyway, we'll get into that. But HIV/AIDS. Now there's the major misconception among these Africans.
She said it right there. They're vastly overestimating. How would they not overestimate? That's what they've been told for how long now? Decades.
It's on billboards.
Everywhere.
You don't get to build a water project in Africa. I've seen this happen. You don't get to build a clean water project without putting on the outside of the
water tower.
Big red ribbon. Be careful who you have sex with. If you have sex, you can die. Sex equals death. So now she's saying, Susan, it's a major... Let's hear the rest of this.
Yes.
About 97% of our respondents said it was certain or highly likely. And that's far from the truth. It's actually quite difficult to transmit HIV. But the people believe that. If you lie together, you die together, they say.
You have just, they actually said that's real NPR right there.
That's real.
Not
NPR.
Made up at all.
No parody. That's them. And you can download it at This American Life.
We've got the link. In fact, I've got the link at the blog today at robertscottbell.com.
Yeah, and of course, save it in case they pull it off the web.
Please do. Yes. you will not. This is shocking what's being revealed here. She just said it. They admit it. And did she mention the Padean study?
No, not at all. There's no mention of Padean. But you know what got to her? Let's hear the rest of this clip. It's just a few seconds.
Sure.
What got to her is a little movie called House of Numbers, in which our friend, a very honest investigative, I consider him an investigative documentary maker, Brent Leung, went to all the AIDS experts and said, how do these tests work? And everybody said, well, they don't really work. Well, you have to use three of these and stand on your left foot if you're in this country and spin around in a circle if you're in this country and throw salt over your shoulder if you're in this country and maybe you'll get the right result. And then he said, but how is this, can you purify this thing? And they said, well, very, very wildly difficult to purify. He said, does it kill T cells? Maybe it helps T cells. Maybe it tickles them. Maybe the T cells survive and come back to life later. Nobody really knows. But is it sexually transmittable? Asked Dr. Nancy Padian, who ran the longest study on transmission in Northern California. The question was, among 175 couples, one person in each couple testing positive, one person in each couple testing negative, having every kind of sex, and I'm including anal sex in that, the majority not using condoms in the beginning of the study, throughout the study told to use condoms more and more, but still, 175 couples, 6 years of up, down, top, bottom, whatever you want.
Yeah.
One person positive, one person negative. And they were couples before they got into the study. They didn't just grab strangers off the street and say, you're going to be a couple now. No, these were long-term couples. How many people who had been negative after banging up against the positive person became positive? The answer was revealed in House of Numbers as well as in the medical literature. The answer is?
Well, we talk at seroconversion, they said the word.
Right.
In other words, becoming HIV positive, you were HIV negative. Having sex with somebody who was HIV positive, you were negative. 6 years, how many couples again?
175 couples, bangity bang, bang, bang.
The big goose egg.
Zero. So this movie, which was cried out from the rafters of the heavens by all the moneyed interests, the money AIDS pharma prostitutes getting all the money and shoving condoms onto people who do not need condoms. The number was zero. That was revealed, and that couldn't be suppressed. And now on NPR, they're saying, oh, it's very difficult to transmit HIV. But hold on. That's not the end. That makes AIDS more serious. Ready?
Let's find out.
that allows this guy to say, well, there's no point in breaking up with her. And it also allows people to say, well, there's no point in my getting tested. I must be positive. I've just had so many girlfriends.
Oh.
Oh.
You got it. That's your response?
That's the reporter. That's
You know, where's the reporters? What did you just say? You said difficulty transmission. No. Oh.
That's Sarah Cunning, and she is doing the sit-in, the hosting of this entire
show. She's not very cunning.
Sarah K-O-E-N-I-G. I don't know.
No, Koenig. Never mind.
Yeah, she's not very cunning. She's sitting there. She's interviewing somebody. This expert in her field has just told this idiot NYU graduate or wherever she's from. And forgive me if I'm bad. No, I mean
no forgiveness needed.
No, I really mean it. I'm so tired of these people running around the world telling everybody how to live. HIV is very difficult to transmit, but we're over here doing an entire study
based on gossip,
raping the minds of young African girls, making them give us their diaries, their personal lives, examining their sex lives, their partnerings, their little whispered secrets. Imagine going into Madison, Wisconsin, or your little town, USA, and saying, we as an international organization are going to go into your grade school and get the information from little girls about who they're holding hands with. It would be an outrage you'd never hear the end of. And we do it without any shame to Africans. This, yes, obviously makes me really, really sick. You know the biggest joke? We don't go into UC Berkeley or Cal State. Here's one. Cal State San Diego, CSUSD.
Yes.
Listen, you're 45 and reasonably good looking, pass for 20-something. Just go. You'll have sex within 10 minutes. I mean, this is the party school of the nation.
Yeah.
No, we don't take this seriously. This isn't a sex problem. This is racism.
This is racism. Yeah, this is out and out, you know, biological, genetic racism in the viewpoints of Africans. And, you know, then they take it out into India and Asia and other areas where they're looking at these people the same way. And where are they coming out of? The Ivy League schools of the Northeast.
UPenn, University of Pennsylvania. Where is that? That's in West Philadelphia, by the way, one of the poorer black communities in this fine nation of ours. And UPenn is an Ivy League school sitting right there in the middle of it, of course, having nothing to do with its environment. It's just, hey, that's the wealthy world. Mm-hmm. You plop down these institutions wherever you want. You study the locals. You're Stanley going into the Congo on King Leopold's, whim to make sure that everybody's performing their duty as slaves to the empire correctly.
And NPR is funded by supposedly taxpayer funds and not or donations. From Archer Daniels Midland again, remember? Monsanto?
Chrysler Corporation.
And their foundations.
Rand Corporation.
We start following the lineage back up, much like Mike Adams has revealed with this latest report on the Institute of Medicine, on the push for vaccines globally. And we find all of the same players, including defense contractors involved. These are globalists. These are people that have no allegiance to any nation or state. They are not Americans in the true sense of the word that believe in constitutionally limited government. They are out there colonizing the planet with big pharma. And this is a ploy to basically chemically alter, castrate, and control the people that are looked at as less than, if you will, human. Racism does exist. It doesn't exist in the deep South like they like to claim. It exists in the Ivy League institutions of the deep North and Northeast and New England. And that is the horrific fact they don't want you to know. That is where it festers even today in the 21st century, Liam.
And you get India sending its wealthier, its Brahmin sons and daughters over to Harvard and Yale and UPenn to get medical degrees to perform the same acts of
butchering their own people.
On their own people.
Yeah.
That's where we live. There's one more clip from this. Maybe you want to wait.
Sure. No, we can do that.
These two lovely women have a real laugh at the gullibility and stupidity of Africans who think that they have a right to determine how to
have nauseous them. Thinking about it, but I do want people to hear what is happening in the name of good American collegiate intelligentsia and master's degrees and PhD degrees. I call them degrees, but that would be even too nice for these people that are doing this. So, Liam, go ahead and run that next NPR. This is a real NPR clip right now.
That's interesting, because I was thinking maybe having that level of fear, like, oh, even one time and I'm doomed, might be kind of good. Like telling your kid, you know, you're not pregnant if you have sex even one time, you know.
That's her responding to the, oh, my God, you've just taken away the fear of sex for these people in Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's a good thing for them to think that if they have sex, they're doomed.
I would think that, like, if we could just scare the crap out of them, isn't that the point?
and there's no consciousness there.
That's Sarah Koenig. Here we go. And what's the response from Susan Watkins running the study?
As a preventive thing, but you're saying it actually can have the other effect, too, which is making you blasé.
Yeah, why would you use a condom? Nobody likes to use a condom. So if you're sure you're already infected, no way would you use a condom.
Yeah, right, right.
Anyway, the women don't want to use condoms.
Right, nobody seems to like the condoms.
No.
Wait a second.
What?
The women don't? I thought AIDS was spread by sexist, rapist truckers who infected 40 million virgins. I thought that's how African AIDS happened, because the numbers have never added up. I thought it was men, but women in Africa don't want to use condoms. Why wouldn't they want to use condoms?
Now, I'm really at a loss to describe what we've just heard, honestly.
Let's let them laugh it out of their systems.
Yeah. There's one quote that I love, that it said, using a condom, it's like eating sweets in a wrapper.
Oh. Yeah. That is all over Africa.
Oh, really?
And everybody tells it, they like slap their knee as if they are the first ones who ever told it. Oh, you can't eat sweets in a wrapper. And then they go, ho, ho, ho. But it's absolutely all over the place.
It's funny every time.
It's funny every time. They're just yucking it up over this stuff.
Oh, those stupid dark-skinned people. If only they could be like us at, Yale University. White people don't have any children. I guess that we use the special have children condom. Nobody uses, this is the biggest joke. Nobody uses, people use condoms for the first 2 minutes. I call it the two rule, right? The second time, after the girl, I really know and trust you now. This was the biggest joke when I was growing up and coming into my, should we use a condom? Well, I really know and trust you now. I'm thinking, okay, I guess so. Until it really doesn't feel good anymore. Everybody always says the same thing. It doesn't feel good anymore. Look, you can do what you want in your house, but let's not lie to ourselves. People get pregnant and have kids all the time. That's because we don't use condoms most of the time. And these women are laughing at Africans because they want to enjoy sex.
Right. Well, this is honestly, Liam, a very uncomfortable hour. And I don't mean talking, frankly, about the issue of sex and human sexuality. I mean, that's a part of healing and part of nature, part of the human interaction. But the fact that there are humans, or I call them subhumans, they look at other humans this way, that treat them as less than. Again, the colonialism that still exists, the superiority elite view. It's very I don't know what it would say, but I'm just disgusted. And I know you are too, to the point of, great anger. And it hurts my heart to think about this. And yet we had to reveal this to show them for the people that they are not.
It really is this American barf bag. I mean, these people are sick at a level that you can barely comprehend. I know. They're worried about Africans, but to go to the point of mocking them, to humiliating them, debasing them, teasing them, and then laughing at them because they want to actually enjoy sex with their partner.
Hmm. Well, the point of this is not even to make fun of the people that are making disgusting things about other people. Honestly, this is really to show you the reality of when we talk about these northern elitists, there is a reality about them. And I wanted you to hear that today on the Robert Scott Bell Show, as discomforting as it may have been. We're going to take a break here. We're going to wrap it up with Liam Sheff. We'll see if we can turn it into some lighter fare. I don't know if it's possible. We'll try. But we'll be right back. Thank you for being here on the United States and World of Health Talk Radio. Liam Sheff is here, the Conspiracy Realist. Check it out at robertscottbell.com. If you have a comment or a question about anything we've discussed today, 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. We'll be right back.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit SovereignSilver.com.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the National News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it. Because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Wrapping up this this show today, Liam, and the discussion on the AIDS issue, the HIV issue, the human sexuality issue. I mean, if we can have an adult discussion here, hide the kids if you want to, but I mean, this is not for titillation, so to speak. But this is serious because when we talk about the left, there was this a sexual revolution, the 60s, everything went crazy, of course, the increase of the sexually transmitted diseases, the traditional venereal diseases, the STDs as they're known, syphilis, gonorrhea, etc., were wildly, into the environment. Of course, we had antibiotics, so suddenly it was like, it was okay, you just go get a shot and you're done with. Versus the kind of concept of repression, sex is always bad, and there's this swing of the pendulum, the extremes, if you will, from one to the other. I think the extremes in the liberal side of things is like there were no rules anymore. And I don't think that was good at all. I mean, there's something obviously that was a blowback, no pun intended in that regard, because it was so tightly wound that they went to the other realm. And now what are we seeing with the whole AIDS thing is there secretly guilty, feeling guilty about this?
It's secretly feeling guilty about it all. If Christianity, or a lot of the Judeo-Christian Western religions, but I'll knock Christianity especially, not, and I'm not going to get you in trouble with your audience. They can write the letters to me, but Christianity, and I believe it was a friend of mine who told me this, does shut down the lower chakras a little bit, right? So Christianity.
We talk about the creation itself, the experience of the human experience, that there are elements of this, of course, confined into a committed relationship, a marriage. There was not so much the repression, perhaps, although it was certainly sold that way. But if we talk in terms of energy centers of the body, Liam, you're right. The lower chakras, these are the root chakras. These are energy centers. Okay, we can call them many different things. Eastern language is very good in the way they've described energy centers. I've utilized those terms. And if you deny these aspects of your humanity, you can end up imbalanced in a way and create the opposite impact that you were trying to create. It's like if we want people to have respectful interaction, human interaction at that level, to shut down the existence of that part of our life, our body, our acknowledgement, our experience, can create dis-ease. The flow of energy stops.
Right. So let me say that here in America, in the inheritors of the Puritan ethos, a lot of us have been told to grow up to be afraid of sex and afraid of that feeling in those what we call the lower energy centers. You call them the genitals, but it's more than that. Mm-hmm. The feeling that floods your whole body. And if you're afraid of that and you're always trying to keep the feeling in your head and trying to be a good person and ignore this other stuff, you're going to explode. So the culture exploded in about 1964, 5, 6, especially by 7. Not co-committant with, you can say, the advent of the birth control pill. No mistake there. No mistake that young girls are throwing themselves at these four very talented lads from Liverpool in 64 with a birth control pill coming around 60. No small – these aren't little these aren't accidental juxtapositions of history. This was really happening. And then the mind, let's say, liberating, but I don't think of them that positively, drugs like LSD. I consider that way too – it's synthetic and it's far too concentrated. But the advent of all these strong synthetics drugs really just exploded the culture. And people said, hey, man, there are no rules. You can get a shot of penicillin for syphilis. No rules, no rules, no rules, no rules. Everybody had some terrible STD by 70, 1, 2, 3. And the culture started to fester and become something really ugly. And people weren't respecting boundaries. And marriages were ripped apart. My mother and father ripped apart because there was no concept of staying together.
Sure, they made movies about this at that time, the late 60s, early 70s, about wife swapping, open, and it literally created a rip in the psyche. You know, it was too much.
It was too much. It was too much. And I'm for exploring your own boundaries and limits or lack thereof in your own life. I don't mind what you do personally. But the whole culture, you know, a lot of the culture was told that it had to do it. And so the conservative culture pushed back. And even the culture that had experimented with it, they were tired of being sick and they were tired of being cheated on. And they said, okay, we'll be conservative again. Right at the time that the young gay men who had been doing the same thing to a very different degree, more drugs, more partners, you know, there's between men and women, you can partner so many times. Between two young men driven by testosterone, you can partner exponentially more and you can take a lot.
It was a disaster waiting to happen. We talk about a really destruction of the immune system because of the drugs, the illicit, the street drugs, the antibiotics that rip the guts, if you will, right out of these people. We talked about that. And on top of the party drugs, the alcohol, everything else. I mean, it was literally an immune disaster waiting to happen. And it was happening in the heterosexual community before, but it happened even more so in the homosexual community at that point. And you had this thing. Now, again, it evolved into or devolved into this personification, if you will, of all evil into a virus that they never even maybe never isolated. But the point is, it became something now that we have NPR talking about Africans as if they're wild animals. They're not human like humans here in America, like humans all over the world.
No, they're talking about them like they're wild animals, like Thomas Malthus talked about them in his essay on population management in the late 18th century. He talked about the population of Africa growing too quickly and that the blacks were going to eat all the whites' food. Really, this was the consciousness going on at the time. It really is still the consciousness going on. So the AIDS concept or the sexual blowback, the conservative blowback and the idea that we need some boundaries now exists in the psyche of these NYUers, these kids who have no boundaries. Because if you go to these schools, really, I bet condom use is high in the first 15 minutes and then low after that.
So they have to assuage their guilt?
Who knows? Yeah. They have to convince them. Maybe they're just doing some sort of personal cultural study, like, why don't we have this problem? Because God knows we have more sex than anybody that we've ever met. This is what white kids in New York should be saying to themselves. This is what Ivy League kids should be saying. It's easier to hook up when you're in college than it is anywhere else on earth. Mm. I mean, among serious, hardworking people trying to make a living, trying not to starve to death in most of Africa.
Listen, Liam, I remember growing up in the time of women's liberation. A lot of the, post-sexual revolution stuff. And, when I met my wife-to-be, it's like we were looking at what we grew up around and thought we didn't like it. And we really went back to the so-called conservative value, 1950s kind of concepts of a marriage and commitment. And that felt better to us. My wife, who's a doctor level, she retired to be mom. That wasn't supposed to be. The women were supposed to, I don't judge anybody whether they want to go that way or not, but I mean, I'm just saying we felt better about doing this. And it hurts my heart again, as I said before, to look at these people. And that's why they've always rubbed me the wrong way, brushed me the wrong way. Those Ivy Leaguers, those high elitists in universities, because they just look down at other humans in disgusting ways, and they do not even understand life itself.
No. They live inside of a box, inside of a box, inside of a box. Their heads are inside of enigmas and mysteries and so on and so forth. Mm. I don't hold it against people, least of all myself, to explore life, to have the life that you want to have. Cultural movements always rub me the wrong way because we're too heterogeneous. We really all need the right to explore our own path. So if everybody says, well, this is why what would it be called? Conservative marriage works. Well, it works for the people for whom it works. And those people should not be stopped, humiliated, made fun of, or put down. On the other hand, people who want to live more more of a dilettante or a Don Juan or some such thing, if you really want to do that, you'll sow your oats and maybe you'll reap the whirlwind at some point. Maybe you'll have 13 children and maybe you'll be sued for child support. I'm not here to judge everybody's lifestyle, but these NYUers, these UPenners, these people are judging a continent of people based on something they know is a lie.
Right.
They know it's a lie.
Well, and on top of that, there was, and still is to some degree, the judgment within our own country, America, of the North to the South, because they still look at the Southerners as backwoods, almost on that same level. Certainly the American blacks, the way they've looked at them, and certainly we've seen the elitists willing to experiment upon them, whether it be Tuskegee or otherwise, and we've covered that on the show here. So to me, there's something deranged in that culture of the Ivy League elitist. That is, you know, the root, I'm not saying the root of all evil, but my gosh, as it was revealed today on the show, what you caught from NPR, it is a frightening look within our own culture of people that exist within it that are not really behaving as humans.
No, it all smacks of Nazi science, unfortunately. It all smacks of, let's see what happens when we dunk the subject in freezing cold water.
Right. Yeah. And look, I don't know what's going to – maybe the economic collapse will collapse the whole Ivy League system of untenable education or indoctrination via 50,000 Federal Reserve notes a year for only those that can afford it, which are, again, perpetuating that royalty concept, the bloodlines concept up there in the elite scum.
That's what it is. It just jogged something in my head. Look, these are the schools – this is where the aristocracy sends its children, and the aristocracy cannot breed with the lower class. That's what this is. You cannot breed. Now the aristocracy is allowed to study the lower class like some sort of animal subject whose sex lives are a mystery to the aristocracy. Please. The aristocracy was the most syphilitic, diseased bunch of deranged lunatics running the world, you know, since time immemorial.
Yeah.
We're all the same species. But the aristocracy needs its scions to be educated differently than the rest, and you can study them but don't mix with them, and that's what this is still about. And unfortunately, due to advertising campaigns and red ribbons and Coca-Cola and Starbucks and Product Red and all this other kinds of crap, everybody buys into it to some degree. But it's a giant lie. Nobody dies 20 years after having sex because they had sex 20 years ago. That's the lie of this thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, if you have an opinion on this, if you're offended by what we've discussed, I want to hear from you. 866-939-BELL, 866-939-2355. I think we're trying to push the envelope a little in regards to our discussion, our ability to talk about these things that are impacting the people of America, the people of Africa, the people of planet Earth. And can we get by our petty aristocracy leanings, if you will? America was kind of, you know, founded on this idea that there shouldn't be an elite and an aristocracy. But the moment it was founded, they found ways to continue on with that tradition. We're now also confronted with a place in time where the people are waking up and seeing this for what it is and seeing that American aristocracy and are disgusted by it like I am and say no more. This is a land of liberty. This is a land of freedom. We do not need rulers. And that is a time immemorial battle, and we are in the midst of it right now. Liam Sheff, thank you for helping us move the discussion and dialogue even further today.
And thanks to This American Life for bringing it to our attention.
And hats off to This American Barf Bag. I have to agree, you've named it appropriately, Liam. Listen, RobertScottBell.com, if you want to see all the things we've talked about today, we've got the links up, and save them because they might remove them from NPR after this. And in the meantime, I remind you simply this every day on The Robert Scott Bell Show, that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
So if you're too school for cool, and you're treated like a fool, you could choose to let it go. We can always party on our own. So raise your glass if you are.